why did the turtle cross the road? Well, actually, it's because he's getting ready to hibernate. Long Island's only turtle rescue center is urging residents to drive carefully and watch out for thousands of turtles now on the move. Karen Testa is the president of the center. She says turtles are the underdog in wildlife, and this is the time they're most vulnerable to human activity.
Every other wild animal and insect can get away. They run, they fly, they move quick. These guys don't move. That's the problem.
Testa urges drivers to be aware of their surroundings, especially on the road. Turtles make their trek from mid-September to about mid-October and then shelter until spring. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut-New York region. Coming up, fewer Long Islanders are struggling with food insecurity, efforts towards climate resilience in Connecticut, and protecting New York's pollinators. I'm Sabrina Garone. Assistance programs on Long Island say fewer residents are struggling with food insecurity. WSHU's Claire Seacrest reports this comes as people return to work and receive the COVID-19 vaccine.
The nonprofit Long Island Cares says nearly 20% fewer people are visiting their food pantries since the vaccine rollout started, compared to the start of the pandemic. Paul Pachter is the CEO of Long Island Cares. He says this data follows the nationwide trend of declining food insecurity as jobs reopen.
We're on the right trajectory in terms of food insecurity with the numbers coming down. It would have been nice if they came down even more, but I think we'll see that next year.
Pachter says visits to six satellite food bank locations has decreased by 18% overall. But 285,000 residents still need food assistance on Long Island. Claire Seacrest, WSHU News.
Connecticut's oldest public housing development has been fully rebuilt after it took extensive flood damage from Superstorm Sandy in 2012. WSHU's Ebong Udama was at the opening of the new $185 million complex in Norwalk.
Washington Village was originally built in the early 1940s. The Norwalk Housing Authority, with the help of state and federal aid, as well as some private financing, demolished the buildings and rebuilt them to better withstand the impact of major storms. Governor Ned Lamont says it's an example of what's needed to provide climate change resilience in coastal Connecticut.
Just the thought that this was underwater during Hurricane Sandy, and look what we've been able to create by raising up this park, raising up the sidewalks, doing it right. You know, down in Florida, you're spending thousands every year on flood insurance. So you pay if you don't do it right.
The new development is called Soundview Landing. It matches the original 136 public housing units and includes another 137 non-public housing units, which are a mix of affordable and market rate units. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Officials in New York say one pesticide has caused a second silent spring. More on that coming up, but first headlines and a message from After All Things supporter.
Support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
CVS stores in Connecticut want to hire 470 workers as the demand for COVID-related testing, vaccines, and flu shots continue to rise. Many Connecticut stores need pharmacists, pharmacy technicians, and nurses. A CVS spokesperson says the company will hold a one-day national career fair this Friday. Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone has included $125 million in funding to protect drinking water and fix old wastewater infrastructure in his proposed $3.9 billion budget for next year. He also wants to fund $35 million to help small businesses in their post-pandemic economic recovery. Both programs are funded by the American Rescue Plan. Experts worry tens of thousands of homes in Connecticut could face foreclosure after this month. That's when a federal freeze on mortgage payments that started during the pandemic expires. Over 23,000 homeowners in the state still benefited from that program at the beginning of this month. The percent of Connecticut homeowners past due on their mortgages was higher than anywhere in the country except New York before the pandemic. The New York State Assembly is considering whether the state should strictly limit the use of a type of pesticide that's been linked to the die-off of honeybees, other insects, and birds. Karen DeWitt has more.
The compounds known as neonicotinoids, or neonics, have been in existence since the 1990s. They've been more widely used during the past 15 years in the form of a pretreatment for corn, soy, and wheat seeds. Assembly Environmental Committee Chair Steve Englebright says the neonics are a systematic poison and have created a second silent spring, a reference to the seminal book by Rachel Carson nearly 60 years ago that led to the banning of the pesticide DDT.
The neonicotinoids are even more toxic and are at least as dangerous, and we haven't really addressed this.
Dan Rochelle with the Natural Resources Defense Council says scientific studies link the increased use of the chemical to the mass honeybee die-offs in recent decades.
Neonics are exceptionally insect toxic, with just one neonic-treated corn seed containing enough active ingredient to kill 250,000 bees or more.
He says the chemical is not just deadly to insects, but it leaches into the surrounding soil and water and can harm birds, mammals, and even humans. Studies estimate half of all Americans have some level of neonic pesticides in their bodies. The measure to limit the use of the pesticides has already been approved in the state Senate. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. Thank you so much for listening and for sharing our podcast with your friends. I'm Sabrina Garone. We'll talk tomorrow.